Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Bhana Prabhu.
I want to ask you what verse that was.
14.
The verse number 14?
Yes. Yes. Krishna jari pravritte karina avatar pratame karina guru vargera sanchar. Whenever Sri Krishna desires to manifest his incarnation on earth, first he creates the incarnations of his respectable predecessors. Pittamata guru adi jatra manyagan pratame karina shabhar prithivite janam. Thus, respectable personalities such as his father, mother, and spiritual master all take birth on earth first. Madhava Ishvara Puri Sachi Jagannath Advaita Acharya Prakat Hoila She Sat. Madhavendra Puri Ishvara Puri Srimati Sachi Mata and Srila Jagannath Mishra all appeared with Sri Advaita Acharya. Purport, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in his human form, he sends ahead all his devotees who act as his father, teacher, and associates in many roles. Such personalities appear before the descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Before the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there appeared his devotees like Sri Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master, Sri Ishvara Puri, his mother, Srimati Sachi Devi, his father, Sri Jagannath Mishra, and Sri Advaita Acharya. Prakatiya dhekiya charja shakala shangshar Krishna bhakti gandahina bishaya vyavahar. Advaita Acharya, having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Keha pape keha punye kara bishaya bhog bhakti ganna nahi jate jai bhavarog. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. No one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Purport. Advaita Acharya saw the entire world to be engaged in activities of material piety and impiety, without a trace of devotional service or Krishna consciousness anywhere. The fact is that in this material world there is no scarcity of anything except Krishna consciousness. Material necessities are supplied by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. We sometimes feel scarcity because of our mismanagement, but the real problem is that people are out of touch with Krishna consciousness. Everyone is engaged in material sense gratification, but people have no plan for making an ultimate solution to their real problems, namely birth, disease, old age, and death. These four material miseries are called bhavarog, or material diseases. They can be cured only by Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the greatest benediction for human society. Loka gati dheki acharja karuna hridoy bichar karina lokera koiche hitohoy. Seeing the activities of the world, the acharya felt compassion and began to ponder how he could act for the people's benefit. Purport. This sort of serious interest in the welfare of the public makes one a bona fide acharya. An acharya does not exploit his followers. Since the Acharya is a confidential servitor of the Lord, his heart is always full of compassion for humanity in its suffering. He knows that all suffering is due to the absence of devotional service to the Lord, and therefore he always tries to find ways to change people's activities, making them favorable for the attainment of devotion. That is the qualification of an Acharya. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu himself was powerful enough to do the work, as a submissive servitor, he thought that without the personal appearance of the Lord, no one could improve the fallen condition of society. In the grim clutches of Maya, the first-class prisoners of this material world wrongly think themselves happy because they are rich, powerful, resourceful, and so on. These foolish creatures do not know that they are nothing but play dolls in the hands of material nature, and that at any time, at any moment, material nature's pitiless intrigues can crush to dust all their plans for godless activities. Such foolish prisoners cannot see, however, that however they improve their position by artificial means, the calamities of repeated birth, death, disease, and old age are always beyond the jurisdiction of their control. Foolish as they are, they neglect these major problems of life and busy themselves with false things that cannot help them solve their real problems. They know that they do not want to suffer death or the pangs of disease and old age, but under the influence of illusory energy, they are grossly negligent and therefore do nothing to solve the problems. This is called Maya. People held in the grip of Maya are thrown into oblivion after death, and as a result of their karma in the next life, they become dogs or gods, although most of them become dogs. To become gods in the next life, they must engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, they are sure to become dogs or hogs in terms of the laws of nature. The third-class prisoners, being less materially opulent than the first-class prisoners, endeavor to imitate them, for they also have no information of the real nature of their imprisonment. Thus, they are also misled by the illusory material nature. The function of the Acharya, however, is to change the activities of both the first-class and third-class prisoners for their real benefit. This endeavor makes him a very dear devotee of the Lord, who says clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that no one in human society is dearer to him than a devotee who constantly engages in his service by finding ways to preach the message of Godhead for the real benefit of the world. The so-called Acharyas of the age of Kali are more concerned with exploiting the resources of their followers than mitigating their miseries. But Advaita Prabhu, as an ideal Acharya, was concerned with improving the condition of the world situation. Apani Shri Krishna Jari Karina Abatar, Apani Achari Bhakti Karina Prachar. Advaita Acharya thought, if Shri Krishna were to appear as an incarnation, he himself could preach devotion by his personal example. Nama bina kali kale dharma nahi ar, kali kali kaiche habi Krishna avatar. In this age of Kali, there is no religion other than the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But how in this age will the Lord appear as an incarnation? Shuddha bhave koriba Krishnara abadhan, nirantara sadhainye koriba nibedan. I shall worship Krishna in a purified state of mind. I shall constantly petition him in humbleness. Anya Krishnere korun kirtana sanchar, tabe se advaita nam sapala amar. My name, Advaita, will be fitting if I am able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. Purport, the non-dualist Mayavadi philosopher who falsely believes that he is non-different from the Lord is unable to call him like Advaita Prabhu. Advaita Prabhu is non-different from the Lord, yet in his relationship with the Lord, he does not merge with him, but eternally renders service unto him as a plenary portion. This is inconceivable for Mayavadis because they think in terms of mundane sense perception and therefore think that non-dualism necessitates losing one's separate identity. It is clear from this verse, however, that Advaita Prabhu, although retaining his separate identity, is non-different from the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached the philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous oneness with the Lord and difference from Him. Conceivable dualism and monism are conceptions of the imperfect senses, which are unable to reach the transcendence because the transcendence is beyond the conception of limited potency. The actions of Sri Advaita Prabhu, however, give tangible proof of inconceivable non-dualism. One who therefore surrenders unto Sri Advaita Prabhu can easily follow the philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous dualism and monism. Krishna basha karibena kun aradhane bicharite eka shloka oila tangramane. While he was thinking about how to propitiate Krishna by worship, the following verse came to his mind. Tulsi dala matrena jalasya dukena ba vikrinite swamatmanam bhakti bhebyo bhakta batsala. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. This is a verse from the Gotamiya Tantra. E shlokarta acharya karina vicharan Krishna ke tulsi jal de je jan tar brine tar rina shodite Krishna karina chintan jala tulashira sam kichu kare nahidhan. Advaita Acharya considered the meaning of this verse in this way. Not finding any way to repay the debt he owes to one who offers him a tulsi leaf and water, Lord Krishna thinks, there is no wealth in my possession that is equal to a tulsi leaf and water. Tabeyatma bechi kari rinera shodhan eta bhavi acharya karina aradhan. Thus the Lord liquidates the debt by offering himself to the devotee. Considering in this way, the acharya began worshiping the Lord. Purport. Through devotional service, one can easily please Lord Krishna with a leaf of the tulsi plant and a little water. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:26, a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or some water, patram pushvam palam toyam, when offered with devotion, very much pleases him. He universally accepts the services of his devotees. Even the poorest of devotees in any part of the world can secure a small flower, fruit or leaf, and a little water. And if these offerings, and especially tulsi leaves and Ganges water, are offered to Krishna with devotion, he is very satisfied. It is said that Krishna is so much pleased by such devotional service that he offers himself to his devotee in exchange for it. Srila Advaita Acharya knew this fact, and therefore he decided to call for the personality of Godhead to descend by worshiping the Lord with tulsi leaves and the waters of the Ganges. Vandeye ham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This section of Advaita Acharya offering tulsi leaves and Ganges water is especially instructive, as Prabhupada gives the verse, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Priyachati. That's just by, actually Krishna is only attracted by bhakti. And there's no qualification by which we can attract Krishna's attention. In fact, Prabhupada used to say that don't try to be a great devotee. Try to be a good devotee. And a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Kara Udoi. And this word Udoi has reference to the sun rising. We can't make the sun rise when we want it to rise. It rises on its own accord, by its own power. Daivanetrena. In fact, everything's going on by divine power, but when I'm in illusion, I think that I'm meant to be the controller. But in devotional service, I understand that Krishna is the supreme controller, and the only solution to all problems in life is to surrender to him. And this is what the acharyas, like Advaita Acharya, come to teach, this process of surrender to the Lord. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayishami masujaha. Actually, the process can take place instantaneously. We say that it's a gradual process. Pramanais tatsara acharais tarabhyasir nirantaram bodhayanatmanatmanam bhaktimapyutamam labet. That by following Shastra, by giving proper behavior, gradually one can elevate oneself. It's generally true. But Srila Prabhupada points out that in the process of surrender to the Lord, it's as if someone was handing you a bag with $1 million in it. As the Lord says, that if you just surrender unto me, then I'll deliver you. Don't worry, don't fear. So he said, if someone offers you the bag and said, here's $1 million, take it. Then you have the choice to take it or not take it. You can say, I don't know why you'd say don't take it, but there's so many excuses why I'm all set. I don't need it. I'm in a hurry. I'm busy doing something else. But the Lord offers us. He comes and he says, here's the process. It makes it very clear. It says, take it. Just surrender unto me. But I say, I'm all set. I don't have time. Or some other kind of excuse. And I don't take it. But he's handing it over. So Advaita Acharya is showing by example how the Lord's pleased and how he actually descends. What makes him descend is this mood of surrender to the Lord. And so as Advaita Acharya induced the Lord to descend to this world, we can also invite the Lord to descend into our lives by the same process, by following in his footsteps, through what is described here as loud cries, begging the Lord to please come. In the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma appears on the lotus flower, and he's in ignorance. He doesn't know who he is or what his purpose is. And ultimately, he takes to the perfect process to find out who he is and how to act properly. And that perfect process is prayer. This is the mudra, like this. This is the ultimate result, the resort of all of us in this world. We have to go like this, as Brahma did, and pray. Because otherwise, I'm helpless. There's nothing I can do on my own to climb up and find out, as Brahma tried to climb down the stem of the lotus. He tried to see in the darkness, but he was not able to. Uvacha puratas tasmai tasya divya sarasvati kama krishnaya govinda he gopi jana ityabhi balabhaya priyavanir mantram te dasati priyam tapas tam tapa etena tavasiddhir bhavishyati. And then, after his self-searching and trying to find the truth, Krishna gave him this opportunity. Divine Saraswati came before him and offered him this mantra, the Krishna mantra, and he began to chant the mantra, and she said, by this tapasya, you'll become perfect. So it's a prayer. It's a prayer. Just as Advaitacharya found this prayer in the Gautamiya Tantra, that by offering tulsi leaf and water, the Lord would be pleased. So he took it to heart, and he began to chant it and pray for the Lord to descend. And he did descend to save the world. Advaitacharya and many other followers of the Lord appeared before the Lord. This is called Tatpriyartam. And in all cases, when the Lord appears in the world, he first sends his associates. In fact, he has everything set up like a stage for him to appear. As Queen Kunti says, Maya javani kachchanam ajnad hoksajamavyayam nalakshashe mudadrisha nato natya darodyata. Describes Krishna as a dancer. Nato natya darodyata. He comes and he dances on the stage. But before he comes, the whole roadshow crew pulls into town and sets everything up. And all the associates of the Lord appear first so that the drama can take place. Ganga jal tulsi manjari anukshan Krishna pada padma bhave kari samarpan. Thinking of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, he constantly offered tulsi buds in water from the Ganges. He appealed to Sri Krishna with loud calls and thus made it possible for Krishna to appear. Therefore, the principal reason for Sri Chaitanya's descent is this appeal by Advaita Acharya. The Lord, the protector of religion, appears by the desire of his devotee. O my Lord, you always dwell in the vision and hearing of your pure devotees. You also live in their lotus-like hearts, which are purified by devotional service. O my Lord, who are glorified by exalted prayers, you show special favor to your devotees by manifesting yourself in the eternal forms in which they welcome you. The essence of the meaning of this verse is that Lord Krishna appears in all his innumerable eternal forms because of the desires of his pure devotees. Thus I have surely determined the meaning of the fourth verse. Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, appeared as an incarnation to preach unalloyed love of God. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. And this is from chapter 6, The Glories of Advaitacharya. Vanditam Srimad Advaita Charya Madbhut Chastitam Yasya Prasadad Agnopi Tatswarupam Narupayet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Advaitacharya, whose activities are all wonderful. By his mercy, even a foolish person can describe his characteristics. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 5 verses, I have described the principle of Lord Nityananda. Then in the following 2, I describe the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee, therefore I take shelter of him. Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Mahavishnu performs all the functions of the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation. That Purusha creates and maintains with his external energy. He creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. By his will, he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe. Sri Advaita Acharya is a plenary part of that Purusha and so is not different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaita Acharya is not separate, but is another form of that Purusha. He, Advaitacharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaitacharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Mahavishnu creates the entire material world with millions of his parts, energies, and incarnations. Just as the external energy consists of two parts, the efficient cause and the material cause, Maya being the efficient cause and Pradhan, the material cause, so Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes two forms to create the material world with the efficient and material causes. Lord Vishnu himself is the efficient cause of the material world, and Narayan, in the form of Sri Advaita, is the material cause. Lord Vishnu, in his efficient aspect, glances over the material energy, and Sri Advaita, as the material cause, creates the material world. Although the Sankhya philosophy accepts that the material ingredients are the cause, the creation of the world never arises from dead matter. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with his own creative potency. Then by the power of the Lord, creation takes place. In the form of Advaita, he infuses the material ingredients with creative energy. Therefore, Advaita is the original cause of creation. Sri Advaitacharya is the creator of millions and millions of universes, and by his expansions as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, he maintains each and every universe. Sri Advaita is the principal limb, Anga, of Narayan. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks of limb, Anga, as a plenary portion, Ansha, of the Lord. O Lord of Lords, you are the seer of all creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. Are you not, therefore, my father, Narayan? Narayan refers to one whose abode is in the water born from Nara, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and that Narayan is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental, they are absolute, and are not creations of Maya. This verse describes that the limbs and plenary portions of the Lord are all spiritual. They have no relationship with the material energy. Why has Sri Advaita been called a limb and not a part? The reason is that limb implies greater intimacy. Sri Advaita, who is a reservoir of virtues, is the main limb of Mahavishnu. His full name is Advaita, for he is identical in all respects with that Lord. As he had formerly created all the universes, now he descended to introduce the path of bhakti. He delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna bhakti. He explained the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. Since he has no other occupation than to teach devotional service, his name is Advaita Acharya. He is the spiritual master of all devotees and is the most revered personality in the world. By a combination of these two names, his name is Advaita Acharya. Purport: Sri Advaita Acharya is the prime spiritual master of the Vaishnavas, and he is worshipable by all Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas must follow in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya, for by so doing one can actually engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Is it warm in here? Is everyone okay? It's warm? Can we turn on the fan? I've got nothing against air. Since he is a limb or part of the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, he also bears the name of Kamalaksha. His associates have the same bodily features as the Lord. They all have four arms and are dressed in yellow garments like Narayan. Sri Advaita Acharya is the principal limb of the Supreme Lord. His truths, names, and attributes are all wonderful. He worshipped Krishna with tulsi leaves in the water of the Ganges and called for him in a loud voice. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on earth accompanied by his personal associates. It is through him, Advaita Acharya, that Lord Chaitanya spread the Sankirtan movement and through him that he delivered the world. The glory and attributes of Advaita Acharya are unlimited. How can the insignificant living entities fathom them? Sri Advaita Acharya is a principal limb of Lord Chaitanya. Another limb of the Lord is Nityananda Prabhu. The devotees headed by Srivas are his similar limbs. They are like his hands, face, and eyes, and his disc and other weapons. With all of them, Lord Chaitanya performed his pastimes, and with them he spread his mission. Thinking He, Sri Advaita Acharya, is a disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Lord Chaitanya obeys him, respecting him as his spiritual master. To maintain the proper etiquette for the principles of religion, Lord Chaitanya bows down at the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya with reverential prayers and devotion. Sri Advaita Acharya, however, considers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his master and thinks of himself as a servant of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He forgets himself in the joy of that conception and teaches all living entities, "You are servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." The conception of servitude to Sri Krishna generates such an ocean of joy in the soul that even the joy of oneness with the absolute truth, with the absolute, if multiplied 10 million times, could not compare to a drop of it. He says, "Nityananda and I are servants of Lord Chaitanya. Nowhere else is there such joy as that which is tasted in this emotion of servitude. The most beloved goddess of fortune resides on the chest of Sri Krishna, yet she too, earnestly praying, begs for the joy of service at his feet. All the associates of Lord Krishna, such as Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Shuka, and Sanat Kumara, are very pleased in the sentiment of servitude. Sri Nityananda, the wandering mendicant, is the foremost of all the associates of Lord Chaitanya. He became mad in the ecstasy of service of Lord Chaitanya. Srivas, Haridas, Ramdas, Gadadhar, Murari, Mukunda, Chandrasekhar, and Vrikeshwar are all glorious and are all learned scholars, but the sentiment of servitude to Lord Chaitanya makes them mad in ecstasy." So this is unusually good news for the soul, because the natural condition of servitude to which everyone's averse in the material world is actually a position of complete happiness. And by getting this news that actually we're servants of the Lord, then we can be happy in life. There's no happiness in trying to enjoy the material world. Rupa Goswami said there are different standards of happiness. Material happiness is really no happiness at all. It's simply an adjustment to miseries compared to, by Lord Chaitanya, being dunked underwater and then lifted back up again. And in that moment when there's a breath, then I think from that relief that I'm happy. And then Rupa Goswami says that there's the happiness of Brahmananda, or identifying myself with the Supreme Brahman. And there is definitely some relief in that, because the material miseries and distractions of life are no longer there. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nakankshati Samak Sarvishu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. There's no hankering and lamentation. But he says that that kind of happiness is compared to the water within the hoofprint of a calf, to the ocean that comes from happiness of identifying oneself as a servant of the Lord. Advaita Acharya himself, who is Mahavishnu, the Lord, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he refers to him as Nara. And he wants to establish that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is his master, and then he is his servant. And he goes at great lengths to do this. As we discussed earlier, before we chanted the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which was symbolic, because in the 13th chapter, 14th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Advaita Acharya had stopped because he hadn't been able to realize the meaning of that verse. He would only move on to propound on each verse when he had personally realized it. But he couldn't realize the meaning of that verse. Later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Mahaprakash pastime told Advaita Acharya that it was I who came to you when you were fasting because you couldn't realize that verse, and revealed its meaning to you. So it's well known that Advaita Acharya used to hold open class at his house in a courtyard, and every day he would speak on Bhagavad Gita. He became frustrated because, as was mentioned here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to treat him as his master. And therefore, he devised a plan to show the world that actually Mahaprabhu was his master. So one day, Advaita Acharya, uncharacteristically, began to speak on the Bhagavad Gita and give the conclusion of the Yoga Vashishta, that the main purpose of the Bhagavad Gita was to discover jnana and to merge into the absolute. Previously, he had spoken on bhakti as the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. So he sat in the open courtyard and began to speak about this. And some of the students who were listening were shocked. And they got up and they ran to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they said, Advaita Acharya is there in the courtyard and he's speaking Bhagavad Gita in the terms of the Yoga Vashishta. He's saying that the ultimate goal is jnana, to merge. And Mahaprabhu became furious. And he marched back over to Advaita Acharya's house with some of his followers and stood and listened. And Advaita Acharya went on propounding, jnana is the ultimate goal of the Bhagavad Gita. We must merge into the absolute. And Mahaprabhu came up to him and chastised him verbally and said, why are you speaking this nonsense? And Advaita Acharya went on speaking. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed a hold of Advaita Acharya and he said, tell the real truth of the Bhagavad Gita. Is it yoga? Is it bhakti or jnana? And Advaita Acharya, jnana! And Mahaprabhu began to beat him. He said, is it yoga? Is it bhakti or jnana? Again, he beat him again. Over and over again, he began beating him. And Sita, the wife of Advaita Acharya, came running out. Please, please, spare him. He's an old man. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wrath had been invoked, and he was beating him until he realized that Advaita Acharya was smiling in ecstasy, that he had now shown the world that actually Mahaprabhu was his master, and he was his servant. So this is an amazing story and one of the pastimes of the Lord and Advaita Acharya. But this feeling is there throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that the devotees are all servants of the Lord. They understand that real happiness comes from pure devotional service without any motivation. In fact, the beginning of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita speaks about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadai Pushpamanto Chitroshando Tamonudao. That they have appeared just like the sun and the moon to dissipate the darkness of ignorance. And what is that ignorance? It's called kaitava, or cheating. It means any process, any thought, any kind of motivation which is outside the purview of pure devotional service. Because those things keep us far, far away from connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajami aham mama vart manuvartante manushya parta sarvasha. That as every living entity surrenders unto him, he rewards them accordingly. And he easily gives away material facility. Anybody can have that. It's cheap. In fact, Rishabhadeva mentions this in his prayers or his teachings to his sons in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam when he says, Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke kashtan kam amarhate vidbhujamye. He says that, look around you. Even the animals get material sense gratification free. In fact, one of the things I always notice when Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke, when we're on Govardhan Parikram, there's so many levels of revelation when you go on Parikram, because first of all, it's a sublime experience which cannot be explained. You have to only experience it how by walking in the rarefied soil of Vrindavan Dham around Govardhan, just the feeling of the touch of your feet on the soil of the holy Dham, and walking in that place, that there's special mercy that comes up through your feet and into your heart. But also, looking around, you can also see and realize the Bhagavatam, how monkeys and hogs and dogs are all very active. in the Holy Dham, running here and there and enjoying so-called happiness in the material world through eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And this is what Rishabhdev says, material happiness is available anywhere, and Krishna gives it away easily, even to the animals, to the pigs, to the dogs. So it's insignificant. And bhakti, however, means that Krishna gives himself. He's giving his own heart, actually, to the devotees. And this means that in order to attract Krishna and his personal appearance in our life, we actually have to be pure. Our motivation has to be pure. If I have some motivation in my heart for something else, then that will be fulfilled. In fact, in the Brahma Sanghita, it's mentioned that, as we said before, Lord Brahma chanting the mantra given to him by Saraswati, Kling Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Balabhaya Swaha. She said, this mantra will fulfill all of your heart's desires. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions in this purport that for one whose motive is pure, then it will cause one to run after Krishna by chanting that mantra. However, if he has some material desire, then that desire will also be fulfilled. But that's a huge burden. To have some desire and have Krishna fulfill my material desire can be a huge burden. So taking the method of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servants, like Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda, who are great, powerful avatars. Lord Nityananda is Balaram himself, but he sees himself as a servant of the Lord. And Advaita Acharya, Mahavishnu himself, but he is the servant of the Lord. So this is how the Acharyas teach, that if I also become a servant of the Lord, then I can attain the highest position in the world, the highest position in life, and all my desires will be fulfilled by this mood of servitorship towards the Lord. And as I said before, Prabhupada used to say, don't try to become a great devotee, just become a good devotee. Practically, just by following steadily and trying to maintain a pure motivation for doing devotional service, Krishna will notice this. There's a story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat in which one of the servants at Srivas Thakur's house was entrusted with bringing pots of Ganga water. But she stayed out of sight. She was a menial servant in the house. And this was during a pastime when many, many devotees had come to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he was manifesting his opulence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was giving benedictions to everyone, saying, come forward and ask for something. And while he was doing that, he noticed that someone was doing very excellent service, bringing these pots of Ganga water and lining them up in nice, perfect rows. But this servant was staying out of vision. She was staying at the back, and she didn't want to be noticed, actually. So Mahaprabhu noticed amongst all the devotees in the very back, he noticed that someone was doing this nice service. And he asked Srivas Thakur, who is that person who is bringing the pots of Ganga Jal and lining them up so nicely? He could tell that the bhakti was there. And he said, oh, that's our servant. Her name is Duki. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then from today on, her name will be Suki. Because by her service, by her sincere service, she's pleased me very much. And this kind of service, behind closed doors, how is my devotion to the Lord? It's not for show, except for the Lord, to show my heart to the Lord that actually I want to surrender. I want to be sincere. Prabhupada used to tell us that, it was a specific instruction. There was a party of devotees who were teaching book distribution. It was called the BBT party. And the leader of that party had gone to Prabhupada to ask for advice about what to teach devotees about book distribution. His devotees on this party, of which I was a part, were entrusted to go around and teach book distribution and talk about it. And so they asked, you know, what should we teach people? What should we teach the devotees? And Prabhupada said one thing. He said, teach them to be sincere. Because if you're sincere, then Krishna will do everything else. He'll show you exactly what to do. So devotional service is very simple. And these pastimes of Advaita Acharya and the great Acharyas who descend to serve the Lord are very wonderful because they free us from all trouble in this material world. All trouble comes from my thinking that I'll make some separate arrangement to be happy in this world. The Lord is already maintaining me. Everything is coming by His arrangement already. Even little bugs and snails and cats and dogs, they have no material want or need, actually. A little bit of work and they get whatever they want. It's naturally being provided by the Lord. Om Purnamadak Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashite. It's a perfect arrangement everywhere on the material side. It's not such a hard struggle, actually. It shouldn't be. The only thing that's lacking or necessary is bhakti, or this mood of devotional service to the Lord. And we can see that from the mood of Advaita Acharya and how it attracts the Lord, how he comes to this world. And also, it's very pleasing, as mentioned here, this is pertinent to our mission here at ISV, that Advaita Acharya's specific mission was to show compassion to the fallen souls of the world. This is actually the true standard of advancement in spiritual life. As Krishna says in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Atmaupam Yena Sarvatra, he talks about how a true yogi actually has a feeling of empathy for other living beings, both in their happiness and distress. He sees others in relationship to himself and thinks how they must be suffering. And therefore, he wants to do something good for them, to help them. That's the mood of actually advanced devotees and acharyas. So Advaita Acharya is in this mood. And before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent to the world, people at the time were in complete ignorance and engaged in all kinds of speculative processes and worship of all kinds of demigods. Even it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that some people arrogantly worshipped the snake gods and all kinds of demigods that are outside the purview of the Vedic process, and they were steeped in this kind of ignorance and separation from the Lord. Therefore, he knew that if Lord Chaitanya came himself, if Krishna came himself, then they would be able to be saved. So he prayed like that. And this is the mood of Advaita Acharya, and this is our mission also, to take up this mood. This is what pleases Krishna, to see how we can do good for others. We say, do good for all living beings, beginning with ourselves by taking the process, and then distribute it to others, as was the process of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. They distributed Krishna consciousness as a team. Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, they went out to distribute Krishna consciousness door to door. Lord Chaitanya sent them to go to people's homes and knock on the doors and beg them to take Krishna consciousness. Do them some favor. Give them something that is worthwhile in life. And we can do that too. There's unlimited doors here to knock on in the Bay Area, as we're finding out. It's really an unlimited service to spread Krishna consciousness. Everywhere you go in the material world, practically, there's some misunderstanding, some level of ignorance. And by distributing Krishna consciousness, when people get Bhagavad Gita, when they get Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the light of day, this knowledge, it actually brings them true wealth. And this is following the footsteps of the great acharyas like Advaita Acharya. It's the greatest work. And practically nobody's doing it either. It's a rare thing in this world that somebody's doing this kind of work. Everyone thinks, let me do some philanthropy. If you go around and you tell people, you know, we're feeding the poor, then they'll give you lots of money. So they think, oh, this is very important, feed the poor. But if you tell them we're distributing spiritual knowledge about God, some people will be inclined, but most people don't understand how important this is. One time, one of the preachers in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission was talking to a very important man. I think he was a king or something. And as he was preaching to him about the mission of the Gaudiya Mutt, this king revealed to him that really what he was interested in doing was not in this preaching or spreading spiritual knowledge, but in feeding the poor. He thought that was a much higher cause. And the devotee answered him that eating is not the goal of life. In fact, all living beings are eating. In fact, there are elephants in the forest that eat tons of food every day. And they don't become satisfied by doing that, by eating and eating. And we take so many lives, and there are material necessities to fulfill, but it doesn't come to an end. It goes on and on. But if one gets spiritual knowledge and understands that I'm not part of this world, that I actually belong to the spiritual world, then there's a real solution to the problem. So this is rare in this world, and the great acharyas like Advaita Acharya are bringing this. And we're fortunate to be in contact, to be able to take their mission and imbibe it in our lives. And it's a lifetime occupation, taking to devotional service, following in the footsteps of the acharyas, and also distributing Krishna consciousness to others as they have done. Advaita Acharya Prabhu ki jai. Nahari Prabhu, can you check on our pujari? Just see who's up for the arti. Thanks. Advaita Acharya had many pastimes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one of them is that he wanted to cook for the Lord. So he invited the Lord to come to his house for lunch. But he was thinking that when the Lord comes for lunch, he'll also bring all his sannyasi friends. And therefore, I won't be alone with the Lord, and not only that, there'll be no remnants left over after I serve Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu had just finished his prescribed chanting. You know that Mahaprabhu also, every day, he finished his prescribed number of rounds. He used to sit, when he was in Vrindavan, he'd go to Imlital. That tree is still there in Vrindavan, you can visit, but he would sit down there and he would chant his prescribed number of rounds. But he was very regulated as a sannyasi, actually. In fact, he was a young man as a sannyasi, and it's said that all the older sannyasis, they used to cringe or fear the great severity of austerity that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform. He was so regulated and austere as a sannyasi. So each day he would have a regulated schedule. He'd chant his rounds at a certain time. He would take lunch at a certain time. And the other older sannyasis would come and join him. So this particular day, he was invited by Advaita Acharya to come to his home. And it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, by Vrindavan Das Thakur, that the Lord himself entered within the heart of Advaita Acharya to cook the kinds of preparations he and his wife began to prepare for the Lord. Especially they made shak, because that was Lord Chaitanya's favorite preparation, made at least 10 kinds of shak. And many, many other preparations are mentioned there. In fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to see how devotees would cook for the Lord and make an offering, he would say, anyone who can cook preparations like this to offer to Krishna, I take their feet and I put them on my head. He was very pleased with that. That's why Krishna consciousness is called a kitchen religion. And that's also why we become very happy when Sanatan Sundaram is in the kitchen, because he's the great general of the kitchen. Cooks are very exalted, actually. You see, if they go in the kitchen and it's such an absorbing service to be there it absorbs all the mind, all the senses, everything in cooking, and you're meditating how to please the senses of the Lord, actually. So it's very, very important, powerful service. And Advaita Acharya was doing that. He was cooking for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his wife. But he had this feeling in his heart that, you know, the Lord's coming all the way to my house, but I'm not going to be satisfied because he's going to bring everybody with him. So he is a supreme controller. Therefore, just at the time when all of the sannyasis were supposed to come, by the power of Advaita Acharya, he made a huge storm appear. Winds were blowing and hail was coming. It was completely out of season and out of nowhere also. And no one had the power to go outside their house but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had come to the house of Advaita Acharya, but nobody could follow him. And he came there, and Advaita Acharya was very happy within his heart that Mahaprabhu had come alone. So he gave him all these preparations. And Mahaprabhu knew the heart of Advaita Acharya, that he had arranged this. And he was smiling. And while he was eating all these preparations, he would eat everything, but he would leave a little bit on the side as remnants, because he knew the heart of Advaita Acharya, that he was hoping for this special mercy. And then he revealed to Advaita Acharya that, I know what you've done, that you have invoked this huge storm to keep away everyone so that you can have my association. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, it wasn't apparent that he was the Supreme Personality of God. He kept that revealed. He only showed a few people, and he asked them not to reveal to others. He would reveal himself in his own time. He'd reveal his mission in his own time. But when he decided to tell all the devotees that actually he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, up till then they thought he was a very arrogant student. He was the best of students as Nimai Pandit. He could defeat everyone. In fact, he would, even though he was younger, a younger student, he would meet with the older students along the bank of the Ganga. This was their pastime. They were studying logic and they were studying philosophy, and they would all meet up after class on the Ganga, and they would have debates among themselves. So Nimai Pandit, he would come along, and he was very arrogant. So they would say, why are you so arrogant? And he said, well, ask me a question. And they say, what is the meaning of verbal roots? And then Nimai Pandit, he would give an elaborate explanation of verbal roots. And they would say, that's amazing. And then he said, actually, it's not correct. And he would defeat his own argument. And they say, well, that's amazing too. And then he would defeat his own argument about defeating his own argument. And this way he'd bewilder the mind of even the older students. And then he gained many followers, actually. Everyone wanted to be his student and follow him, even though he was a young man. And the devotees, the bhaktas, they thought he was very arrogant because he used to stop them on the street and challenge them in philosophy. And sometimes when they'd see him coming, they would cross over to the other side of the street just so they didn't have to meet him. And they were all thinking, he's so beautiful, he's so powerful, he's so intelligent, if he only would be a Vaishnav, because at that time the Vaishnavs were suffering like anything. they had their own group and they were chanting to themselves and speaking about bhakti, but everyone else was interested in logic and speculation and worship of demigods and all these things that had nothing to do with bhakti. So they were suffering and they were praying, and that's why Advaitacharya had prayed. The Lord had to come and break this ignorance. Only the personality of Godhead could break through that ignorance. So the Supreme, so they didn't know that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They thought he was a wonderful person. But then when he revealed that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he, at Srivas Thakur's house, sat down on the altar and began to manifest his opulence. And at that time, he called for Advaitacharya. He said, "Go tell Nara that I have come, that I'm here now. He called for me, and now I have come." And so he sent Ramai Pandit, who was the younger brother of Srivas Thakur, to go and find Advaitacharya. He gave him some directions. And the devotees, of course, they were just bewildered with ecstasy that Mahaprabhu is now revealing himself as the Supreme Lord. So Ramai Pandit wandered out. He didn't know which direction he was going to find Advaitacharya's house. He's trying to, somehow he found it to his house, and he came to Advaitacharya. And of course, Advaitacharya, being non-different from the Lord, is also omniscient. And he knew the reason Ramai Pandit was coming. But Ramai Pandit said, "Mahaprabhu is calling for you." He said, "I know he's calling for me." And he said that he's now revealed that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Advaitacharya jumped up and he said, I have brought. I have brought the Supreme Lord. As this was his heart's desire, through his prayers, through his calling out with loud cries and offering Ganga Jal and Tulsi, that the Lord would come. And now he knew that he had come. So then he told Ramai Pandit, he said, "I want to be sure that this is really him." He said, "Don't tell him that I've come. I want to see if he knows that I've come." So they went nearby the house of Srivas Thakur to the house of Nandanacharya. And there Advaitacharya hid in the house of Nandanacharya. And he said, "If Mahaprabhu knows that I've come, that I'm nearby, and he calls me to him and he puts his lotus feet on my head, then I'll know for sure that he's the Supreme Lord." So Ramai Pandit came back to Mahaprabhu to tell him all this. And Mahaprabhu, of course, already knew. So he said, "Yes, he's in the house of Nandanacharya. Tell him to come now." So Ramai Pandit went back and told Advaitacharya, "He knows everything. You come in." So Advaitacharya and his wife Sita came, and from a distance they were falling down, offering dandavats over and over again to the Supreme Lord, who was at the house of Srivas Thakur. And they had brought, on the order of the Lord, through Ramai Pandit, all the articles for worship, and they began performing puja and offering all the articles, artik, for the Lord. Bathed the Lord. He put sandalwood pulp on his feet and offered tulsi leaves to his lotus feet. And Mahaprabhu placed his feet on the head of Advaitacharya, and all the devotees were in ecstasy, calling out, "Haribo!" And then he told Advaitacharya to dance. So Advaitacharya began to dance in ecstasy. And sometimes he would dance slowly, and then sometimes he would dance a jig, and he would go fast and slow. In love of God, it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "Evam vrtaswa priyanama kirtya chatan rago jita chutu uchar hasatito rotiti roti gayati unmadavan nrititi lokabhayat." Someone becomes unmadavan, means when they become filled with love of God, they become mad, actually. And they don't care for outsiders. They'll dance like crazy people. They'll fall on the ground. They'll roll around. They don't know what's going on. It's like in some mad intoxication. Like sometimes you see these intoxicated people, when we go in Harinam, practically we attract them. We're a magnet for intoxicated people. They always come over, and then they they just start doing all these crazy dances and things like this. Of course, they're under the influence of both alcohol and the holy name, but the pure devotees of the Lord, they become intoxicated by this love of God. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that you get this. He says that just once try to get this kind of intoxication from chanting the holy name of the Lord, then your life is perfect. So Advaitacharya was dancing like this in the house of Srivas Thakur, like a madman. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, he said, take some boon, take a benediction. And Advaitacharya said, what benediction can I ask? You've already given me everything I ever wanted. He said, you've appeared in this world and now you've put your feet on my head and you've given me pure love for God. How could I ask for anything else? I don't want any other boon except for this. And this is the sum and substance of devotional service, that by surrendering to the Lord through the agency of his pure devotees, his associates, like Advaitacharya, this kind of love of God is available. It's being distributed by the Lord and his associates everywhere to anyone who will take it. And we're all recipients of that. So there's not much time. Life is very short, and also it's already kind of guaranteed that we waste a lot of time just along with our birth and growing up. There's a lot of time is wasted. So now that we have come in contact with this precious, rare thing that is being distributed by Advaitacharya and the great, powerful Mahajans, Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, we should pray like anything, that we can take advantage of it as much as possible and not waste any time to get this special mercy from Sri Advaita Prabhu. Is it coming? Okay. Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gopri Manande Hari Hari Bo. Yes.
Prabhuji, are Krishna and expansions of Krishna such as Mahavishnu, Balaram, are they one and the same person? And if so, are Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya are the same person playing like different roles?
Departure eva hita shantanam abhipeta, dipayate virvita hetu samana dharma, yastadrageva hita vishnate avipati, govinda madhi purushamta mahambhajami. Lord Brahma gives the answer to this, that just there's one main candle, and that candle lights other candles, and although the strength, the power is the same in those other candles, still there's an original. So yes, they are, but they're simultaneously different as well. And this is what was being described here as achintya beda bed tattva. Inconceivably, simultaneously one and different. For the sake of enjoyment, eko bahu shyam, the Lord has expanded himself, because in oneness there's no ananda. But when there are two, then you have relationship, and that's where there's ananda. And therefore, the Lord, for his own pleasure, has expanded himself into unlimited forms and personality. Unlimited. In fact, all living entities are expansions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is marginal energy, but mamayavamsho jivaloke, they're his anshas. They're parts of him. And they are there for a purpose, a specific purpose. Every living entity has a specific relationship with the Lord. So nityo nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. And all the powerful incarnations of the Lord and expansions are also there for his enjoyment, and therefore they all feel themselves as servitors of the Lord. So although, yes, they are the same, Lord Balaram is explained to be non-different from the Lord, same, only different thing, he's different color. But he also has different sentiment also. He sees himself as a servitor of the Lord.
Yes. Sometimes we see that Krishna can put even the expansions of his direct Vishnu-tattva expansions under the spell of Yogamaya. So that's
yeah,
what
well,
really...
even he can come under the spell of Yogamaya. And that's his pastime, that's his leela. That's how he enjoys.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What else? Narhari Dev Prabhu, do you have your hand up, or is that just... Okay. Can you feel the auspicity of the day on these holy days? When it's a holy day, like at Vaitacharya's appearance day, Lord Ina's, and then you have fasting. Also, fasting on these days is very nice because, we do devotional austerities. Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, whatever austerities you perform, do it as an offering to me. And there are no austerities that we need to perform outside of devotional service. They're all to please the Lord. So in these days, for instance, we fast until noon. It's not a very severe austerity, but still there's a remembrance there because the stomach says at a certain time, this is when we eat, right? And we say, no, not today. What are you talking about? The conversation is going on with the senses all the time. The senses are always talking to us. And Rupa Goswami said, Kama dinam katina katida palita durnideshas, that they're bad masters, actually. They're always talking to us, giving us orders. But he said, they've never given me a break, they've never given me peace, they've never given me time off, and they've never given me mercy. They're only demanding all the time. But when we have the great appearance days of the Lord and his associates, and we can fast for some time, then it's a great relief because we can actually separate ourselves from those bad masters and say, sorry, I'm serving someone else today. The reason I'm not eating, we explain to the stomach and to the tongue, the reason I'm not eating is because I'm serving my master today by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And in that, there's complete satisfaction. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchide. This is bhakti, to serve the master of the senses and not serve the senses. And this is devotional service, to serve the master of the senses. And then we actually become completely satisfied in heart and mind, everything. The devotees of the Lord have no want in this world except more service. The devotees want to, they're attached to their service, they want to serve the Lord more and more, and they want to improve the quality of the service, that there's no motivation. They're doing it only for service to satisfy the Lord. Apparently we have a few more minutes. Any other things? Kishore Prabhu.
So, in the chapter that you read about glories of Advaitacharya, it is said Advaitacharya is the efficient cause or the material cause for this cosmic manifestation, and the efficient cause is Mahavishnu. But I thought Advaitacharya himself is the incarnation of Mahavishnu. So are they both different? I mean, Mahavishnu in the sense, I mean, Karnodak Sai Vishnu. So Advaitacharya, I thought, is same as Karnodak Sai Vishnu. But are they different?
He's a little mysterious, actually. I mean, we read that purport, and it's a little technical and mysterious. But sometimes it's said that he is Mahavishnu, and therefore the Lord's calling him as Nara. And sometimes it's said that he's incarnation of Sadashiva, and sometimes it's said that he's both together. And in fact, that at one time Mahavishnu and Sadashiva had embraced, and in that moment Advaitacharya was, his particular tattva was manifested. So there's some, you know, nuance as far as, you know, his exact position goes. But generally it's said that he's a Mahavishnu. And of course, Mahavishnu is the doorway through which all the different incarnations of the Lord come to this world. We see that even in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, that the Lord Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna. You know, that he had arranged so that some Brahmin within Dwarka had had sons that were being born dead. And he was complaining to the king and saying, what kind of king are you? Because you can't even protect your citizens and the children that are being born here. And then Arjun stepped up and said, I will protect him, no matter what. And if I don't, I'll enter into fire. So he stood with his Gandiva bow and he waited. And the next time this Brahmin's wife delivered a child, and it also disappeared. And the Brahmin began berating Arjuna. And Arjuna berated himself and said, I'm going to enter into fire. And Krishna said, wait a minute. Let me solve this. I'll help you out on this one. So he got his chariot and he put Arjuna on the chariot and they took off in through all the different coverings of the universe. And they went all the way to where Mahavishnu was. And there Mahavishnu, smiling, was actually, had greeted Krishna and Arjuna with obeisances. He said, this was the only way I could get to see you. and it's revealed there in the commentaries by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur how Mahavishnu, although sometimes he's taken as the supreme or, you know, the source of all incarnations, he's like the doorway through which they appear. So we see also in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Advaita Acharya is the conduit, the personality who invites the Lord to come, and he also the one who tells the Lord that you've done your work here. You know that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he sent Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a poem saying that now the price of rice in the market has gone down because of your distribution. In other words, it was enigmatic. No one else could understand except Mahaprabhu knew exactly what Advaita Acharya was saying. And that was when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into his lila at the end of his life, where he went inside himself, inside the Gambira, and he gave up the preaching and stayed in with his intimate associates, Sarup Damodar, in Ramananda Roy and Jagannath Puri. This is the end of his pastimes. But it's also mentioned there that Advaita Acharya is instrumental in bringing the Lord and also informing him when, you know, his pastimes, he's done enough for preaching to the world. But the technicality of, you know, Garbhadakshaya, we can read that purport and I think you'll probably understand it. Any other things? You can say whatever you want. Okay, any reflections? Anything we heard from the reading tonight or from our discussion, that one thing you're taking with you? But we'll only have, we can only take three reflections. So sign up now. What's one thing in your mind you're taking away from tonight's discussion? Yes.
I got 2 points. Devotee should be sincere and it should be compassionate.
Oh, that's very nice. Devotional service should be sincere and should be compassionate. Thank you. That's something you can take with you. Okay, we could take 2 more reflections. Yes, Jagannath Mishra Prabhu.
When you said patram pushpam and you said when offered in devotion, you can do anything. If it's not devotion there, you're not going to feel that devotion to Krishna, but there won't be any like result of that. So I was thinking, like one time I forgot to put the tulsi on the plate that was offered to Krishna, and after it, there was such guilt. Like it was the end of the world. I forgot to put the tulsi, and there were so many tulsi, but just on that, you know, one preparation, one plate. There's so many plates. I mean, there's so much tulsi, but on that one plate, you forgot to put tulsi. So, you know, and just so there's just that, you know, that the remorse that, you know, that you're feeling. And it's also like, you know, it's transcendental in a way, because, yeah, there's that devotion that, you know, that Krishna's depending on you to put that tulsi on his plate. And all those, you know, like little things, you hear the conch shell at Mangalarti, and like, you know, you're tired, and you didn't make it, you didn't wake up before Arti, and you hear that conch shell, and it's like, oh, that's the conch shell from Mangalarti. And then there's that guilt there, that you know, you that's where you should be when that conch shell blows. You should be at the altar for Krishna. So
yeah, well, we were discussing the other day of how we're developing faith in Krishna, but he's also developing faith in us. It's two ways, because, you know, it's a relationship. We understand who Krishna is through hearing and also his reciprocation. But he also, if we endeavor to be on time or to do things specifically for the Lord, like if we take a vow, this is why it's important to take some vow. Then you can tell if you're keeping it or not. If you don't make a vow, if you don't make, you know, it's like with marriage, it's a marriage vow. And then there's some responsibility there. Otherwise, like, well, I never promised you anything. But there's pretty strict vows in sickness or in health, at least in the vows they do in this country, for better or for worse, all these things they say, you know, make a vow. And if we make a vow to perform devotional service in a certain way, it's very powerful, actually. Even if it's small and we keep to it, then Krishna develops faith in us also and sees our sincerity. That's how we prove our sincerity also. Thank you for that. One more. Banabata Prabhu.
I especially liked when you were talking about how the quality of servitorship is so sweet that the Lord likes to see himself as a servant of his devotees. And I especially like that story also about that portrayed that understanding with Dvaitacharya when he was speaking the Bhagavad Gita and saying everything is meant for Gyan, and Lord Chaitanya beat him up and he really enjoyed it. That was really nice.
Jai, thank you. Any more reflection? Guess we made our quota anyway. Had three. Bhakta Leon looks like he's just about on the fence. Go ahead. What the heck? Give him the microphone.
I know my mind's a bit of a blank.
What about door to door? We talked about door to door and how it's unlimited. Lord Chaitanya emphasized this, go door to door. He'd send his followers out. Everyone would go. Dvaitacharya, Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur. Imagine Haridas Thakur coming to your door. Or Lord Nityananda or Dvaitacharya knock on your door. That's real mercy, actually. You know, to actually go out of your way to go to somebody's house where they live and introduce something that will make their life better. It's such a nice thing. Prabhupada said in one of his poems that he wrote in Vrindavan, and when he was, before he came to America, he said, everyone's there. They're in their homes, on their street, and he said, they're looking out the window down the street wondering, when are Chaitanya and Nitai going to come and save me? That was Prabhupada's vision. And, you know, it leaves an impression when devotees go out, even if someone doesn't open the door and invite you in. Did you have, yesterday, Vijay Mata, did you have good experience going door to door in Cupertino? You met some nice people?
Hare Krishna. They're really very eager to know about the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam classes here, and they wanted to have some cultural enlightenment. Mm. And they wanted to know more about Krishna. Lot many people, they actually invited me, they offered me water, and they made me to sit, and then Actually, I was I'm climbing the steps and I'm going into the home, and then I was taking a little bit rest, like I was just doing like that, and then thought like, okay, please sit and have a little water, and then now please tell. That's what the way they received me.
So they really were looking down the street waiting to see when
quite
the representative of Nitai and Chaitanya would come and save them, right?
Quite interesting and very encouraging too.
Jai. Yep. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I thought of a way to unblock your mind. How about that guy, Zach, you met yesterday? You remember him?
Yeah, we met. We knocked on one
Everyone
door.
Everyone move up by 6 inches, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I was distributing books with Back to George, which was really nice actually. And we went to this one door, and as soon as we knocked, straight away this person came out. He was actually from Australia, but he'd come here to work for Apple Computers. And straight away, the moment he saw us, he was like, seemed just really naturally really happy. And then we explained a few things and showed the books. And then Back to George told the story of the Brahmin who went around collecting to people's houses. And he went to the house of a couple and they were arguing. They were having like a married couple having an argument. And so because they were both angry, the wife said, oh, just give him some ashes because he doesn't deserve, just give him some ashes to get rid of him. So they give the ashes to the Brahmin who's going around, and then he takes them back to the temple, gives them to the pujari, and then the pujari uses the ashes to clean the brass on the deity's plates or some parts of the deity paraphernalia to make them to polish them to make them shiny. So as Back to George was explaining this, and then he liked it so much that in the end he took some books and then he made a donation, and he seemed to really appreciate that someone was going out trying to give spiritual knowledge. And and that if he gave something towards it as well, then he'd benefit. He saw the benefit in it as well. So that was probably the most ecstatic part of the the distribution.
Haribo, thank you for that. We went out yesterday, and we got to Deepak Prabhu's house. Deepak's not here tonight, is he? Anyway, his is the expansion of Rakshit Jariwala's house. That in Cupertino, that was becoming a Sankirtan Central. That was our central meeting place there, to go out from there. That was the plan, because he lives right in the middle of Cupertino and he knows the area. And as soon as we got to his house, then we had already taken prasadam at the temple, but he fed us there and insisted that we take prasadam. So we did. And then Deepak and I and Banabhata Prabhu and Bhakta Leon and who else was with our team? And Satyadev, we all went over to this large apartment complex that Kishore and Praveena had worked last week and were really excited about. And so the first door that we got to, I went with Deepak, for the two of us, and they invited us in and asked us to sit down, and we did, and then they started feeding us. And we were like, no, no. But we couldn't get out of it, so we ate some more, and they took books, gave a donation. We went to the next place, and the same thing happened. And I was thinking how, Prabhupada said, sometimes preaching means that you have to eat on behalf of the Lord. We were especially experiencing that yesterday. And then it turned out that Sukeshwari and Ravi live in that same complex. So we happened to run into Ravi. He was down doing his laundry, and he saw us and invited us to his house. And, of course, they fed us there, too. So, taking prasadam can be an austerity, actually. But it's a necessary thing. It has to be done. But going door to door is a very nice experience. We met somebody. We went to Deepak. Used to live in this apartment complex, so we figured we'd go to his old apartment. He used to live there for 6 years, and we knocked on the door, And the man was in there with his family, and he was friendly and accepted some books. And then he looked at Deepak and said, you know, don't I know you? And they looked at each other, and then it turned out that they worked next to each other in the same company. He's one cubicle away from Deepak. And now he's living in Deepak's old apartment. So anyway, we were thinking how these things don't happen by chance. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesher junatistati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rujani maya. The Lord's directing all living entities from within their hearts. And going to perform sankirtan like Advaitacharya did door to door is a divine activity. It's under the control of the divine nature. And as Bhakta George had written so nicely yesterday in his after he had been on sankirtan, that it's a transcendental experience. Everyone should try it, to go out. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. It makes you a little adrenaline going. But once you go there, you feel the Lord's hand that he's directing and helping you to meet different kinds of people, to introduce them to Krishna consciousness. Advaitacharya Prabhu ki jai, Goprimanande Hari Hari Bo. So we chanted our chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which was very much in tune with the mood of Advaitacharya, who's to give Bhagavad Gita class every day. And we picked chapter 13 because there's a verse there that he had specifically pondered over until Lord Chaitanya revealed it to him within his heart. And everyone, to follow in the footsteps of Advaitacharya, you can go on reading Bhagavad Gita every day. Especially chant one chapter a day and try to enter into the Bhagavad Gita. You'll be protected from Maya. If you do that, chant 16 rounds, follow four regulative principles, then you'll be as strong as the Himalayan mountains in devotional service. It's an easy process, simple. And then we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and we discussed Advaitacharya. We heard some reflections. And now we can put away all the Shastra deities. These are deities who have mercifully appeared in this world. So let's put them back in their other altar up there, carefully and efficiently, and then we'll have Artik. And after that, the feast, which is cooked by the great cooking general, Sanatan Sundaram Prabhu and his family and crew. Goprimanande Hari Hari Bahu.